The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com, that's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In the first half of this sermon, we were examining the necessity of Christ's sacrifice for our heavenly purification. The sacrifice of bulls and goats in the Old Testament was symbolic and superficial and could never put away sin, whereas the sacrifice of Christ was substantive and powerful, putting away our sins and purifying us even from a heavenly standpoint. Christ indeed was a better sacrifice than any of the symbolic sacrifices under the law. In the last half of this sermon, which we're posting today, we see that the perfect sacrifice of Christ was needed for the permanent propitiation of the wrath of God upon sin. Join us as we conclude this message today. But first, we have a song selection that we hope you enjoy.
You may sing of the beauty of mountain and dale, of the silvery streamlet and flowers of the vale, but the place most delightful this earth can afford is the place of devotion, the house of the Lord.
You know, the only two times we act out the gospel is through the two ordinances that the church has been given. When we baptize somebody, one of the reasons we don't sprinkle, we immerse, is several reasons. One is that's what it means. Baptize means to immerse. But be that as it may, from a symbolic standpoint, one of the reasons we do it is because it shows forth the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take that candidate and we plunge them under the waters and bring them back up, that visibly shows forth the gospel message. An enactment of the gospel. When we sit here at this table and we have only the wine and the bread there representing the blood and the body of Christ, notice it's separated from each other, which is a symbol of death. You know, anytime the blood is separated from the body, there's no hope. There's no doctor anywhere that can resuscitate anybody who's completely bled out, okay? So when that's a symbol of the only thing that's sufficient to save us from our sins. There's nothing else there. When we pray the blessing upon it, we're not changing it into something. We're not magically causing it to become something other than what it is. The atoms stay the same. The molecules stay the same. It's still bread. It's still wine. But it points us to the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It enacts the gospel message. That's the only two things we do visibly to show it forth. Otherwise, we take this word here that tells us what he's done, and we preach it on Sundays, and we sing about it, and we pray about it, and we fellowship together. Amen. And you see, that's the only thing we need. It's simple. It's simple. And it's better. It's better. Now, as we move into the last part of this tonight, going from verse 24 on down to verse 28, we see that a better sacrifice was required for the permanent propitiation of the sins of God's people. Look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, what this tells us is that Christ marched into the throne room of heaven itself. He didn't have to go through some go-between. He didn't come down and have to detour through the temple or through the priest. But he didn't enter into the holy place made with hands, which are only symbols, but into heaven itself to appear now in the presence of God for us. You know, when I read this, I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 5. Brother Buddy so competently and thoroughly preached to us as he's been going through the book of Revelation. In chapter 5 of Revelation, the chapter begins with a vision that John sees, and he describes it to us. He says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Now, before we get too deep into a discussion of what is this book, let's just say it this way. I don't really know exactly what the book is, but I know it contains the redemptive history of God's people. I know it has that. I know it has to do with God's people being redeemed. As I said, we've been going through the book of Revelation with Brother Buddy over the past several months, maybe a year or so. And as we've seen this scroll unfolded, what we've seen is a constant theme of God redeeming, God delivering. And sometimes it's been in a timely sense, but ultimately it's in an eternal sense, okay? So, who is worthy to open this book? Who is worthy to handle it? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. So, that tells me that there's no man in heaven, no one who's died and gone to heaven, no man in earth, no one who's living there in that day, no man under the earth. Now, I think that's probably referring to those that have died and gone to hell, but it may be just referring to those that have died and been buried, but no man was able to open the book or even to look upon it, okay? You know, I just keep, we just keep getting reminded, don't we, throughout the scripture of how depraved we are, how weak and helpless we are. We're not even able to look on the book.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think at least, well, at least I can look at it from a distance. No, you can't even look on it. You can't even see it. You know, I read about another time when Jesus was talking to a man named Nicodemus. He said, "Verily I say unto you that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, you can't even get what we're doing here tonight. You can't get it. You can't see it. That doesn't mean you can't show up here and look around and see everybody here, but you're not going to get it if you haven't been born again.
Amen.
That word "see" there is the Greek word that ultimately, some of you remember Archimedes, who was the great mathematician in Greece who was trying to figure out a problem. He kept running around in his mind. He finally went to the public baths, and he was sitting there soaking in the bathtubs or the baths there, and it came to him, and he leaped up and forgot to get his towel and ran through the streets naked shouting, "Eureka! Eureka!" which means "I have seen it! I have seen it!" And it's that same Greek word that that Jesus uses there. You can't even see it if you've not been born again. Here's John telling us that no man can even see the book. And he wept much because no man was found worthy to open to read the book, neither to look thereon. Oh, but that's not the end of the story. You know the rest of the story. One of the elders came to him and said, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Praise God. I can just see John. "Oh, the Lion. Where's the Lion? Let me look for the Lion. All I see is a lamb." Well, you see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is the lamb that was slain. He was a lamb as it had been slain, and he had the power, and he had the authority, and he had the right, and he had the ability to march right up to his father who was seated on the throne and said, "Give me the book." He took that book, you see. Now notice as we continue going back to Hebrews verse 25, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Notice Christ only did it once. He only went one time into that holy place. The high priest had to go in every year. The high priest had to continually do it. And notice, we're going to see as we get on over into chapter 10 eventually that the high priest was continually standing. He was continually working. And the reason he didn't sit down is because he wasn't finished. But we read that Christ, when he finished that work, he sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. Praise God. He did it one time. And it says, "Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin, not by the cooperation of Christ and others, but by the sacrifice of himself."
Amen.
Nothing else. Nothing else would prevail. Nothing else would suffice. Verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, praise God, we will not be standing at the bar of justice when the great white throne judgment comes." Praise God.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot we could talk about here, but I don't want to get sidetracked because I want to keep talking about Christ. But let me just point out that this is not talking about that God has set some specific date out there for you to die. And no matter how healthy you are, or how righteously you're living, or how smart and wise you're being, and you're in circumspect and you're living, there's no escaping it. What he's talking about here is that men die. Men die. It's not appointed unto a man wants to die, but men wants to die. Now, don't get me wrong. God knows exactly when that time's going to be. But I think people get too caught up in this, "Oh, there's a set time to die." Well, God knows when that's coming, but you don't. You don't. You're getting into God's realm there. When you start trying to, I can go out here and I can drive 80 miles an hour on the left side of the road. If it's not my time, then I'm not going. Well, I got some news for you. It's probably going to be your time. It's probably going to be your time. But what he's saying here is, he's reminding us that we're going to die. And there's going to be a judgment. But praise God, we are not going to be standing at the bar of judgment one day while God rolls out every sin that we've ever done and says, okay, you did good on this one, you didn't on that one, let's weigh them all out and see how many are on each side. Praise God. That's right. Praise God. So what is he going to do? What did happen? How can we escape that? Now look at verse 28, and I want to spend just a little time on this because this is one of the sweetest verses in Scripture, I believe. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This deals with two different aspects of our eternal salvation. It deals with our eternal redemption, and it deals with how we can have comfort and hope here and now based upon that. Notice that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Okay? By the way, it didn't say to bear the sins of everybody. He bore the sins of many. Who are the many? All those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He bore those sins. He was once offered to do that. And unto them that look for him, and I trust that's us. I trust that we're looking for him tonight. I trust that if your heart has been tendered and you've come to see that Christ is your only hope of salvation, that you're looking for him, you're expecting him. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not really looking for a whole lot out of this world. I'm not looking for a whole lot of fun and a whole lot of relief and a whole lot of peace out of this world. I'm looking for Christ. Christ, who he is our life. And we've read about that over in the book of Colossians recently in the third chapter. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him. You see, I'm looking for that. And praise God, what I'm looking for is not for him to come back and to say, have you been living? I need to find out about your sins. You see, he's not coming back with our sins. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of a little goat. It's called a scapegoat over in the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Turn back over there just for a minute with me. Let's just look at it. It's too sweet not to. In the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus, we're told that about verse 8, that Aaron has now taken two goats. And we're told he shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Scapegoat. We use that today, right? That's somebody we blame for something that's gone bad. Now, today it's kind of got a pejorative term, and sometimes it's like, well, you wrongly, a scapegoat is somebody who was wrongly blamed, okay? But there's a sense in which that's still the case biblically. This little goat hadn't committed one sin before the Lord. And so in a sense, he was wrongly blamed for all the sins of Israel, as we're going to see in a moment. But the point of that is that this scapegoat, the word scapegoat comes from two Hebrew words. One word means goat, of course, and the other means to go away or to disappear. Isn't that something? Notice what's going to happen here. He's going to take this little goat, as you read that account there sometime. We're just going to skip down for the lack of time, but he's going to take that little goat. He's going to sacrifice one of them before the Lord. And then in verse 21, we read that Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, that's the scapegoat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all of their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. He's going to stand there and he's going to confess with his hands on the head of that goat all of the sins of all of the nation of Israel for that past year. They're going to be laid upon the head of that goat. Now, as we said, the goat obviously hadn't committed any sin, which kind of reminds you of some other sacrifice that we know about that we've been talking about, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, he hadn't committed any sins, and yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord laid that upon him who knew no sin. He became sin for us. My goodness, can we not see the typology here? So he lays his hands upon the head of that goat and confesses all those iniquities of the children of Israel and lays them, puts them upon the head of the goat, and then sends him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And look at verse 22. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he, that is the fit man, shall let go the goat in the wilderness. I believe one of the reasons that he specified that it had to be in a land not inhabited is because if he had taken it over there to the Amorite lands where people were, they might have found the goat and brought it back and said, hey, here's your sins back. Or they might have come back and said, hey, I just want to tell you that that fit man let the goat go, but he wasn't sufficient enough. I had to help him get rid of the goat. But notice that's not what happened. He didn't take him to a land inhabited. He took that goat to a land not inhabited and let the goat go in the wilderness. And we're going to keep reading down in verse 26 there that he that let the goat for the scapegoat, I'm sorry, he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. Notice what's happened here. Notice what's happened. The fit man has taken the goat upon whose head all the sins of Israel had been laid, and he has delivered that goat into the wilderness, and he has let go the goat in the wilderness. And the goat with the sins on his head stayed, and the fit man came back. Notice that, very important, because I believe there's a direct connection to chapter 9 and verse 28 here. Listen to what it says again in Hebrews 9, 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. There's our fit man with the goat, with the sins of all of the people confessed over his head, put upon him. There's our fit man with the sins of each and every elect child of God upon his head. He was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. There he is coming back. Where's the sins? Where's the sins? Without sin, unto salvation. The sins were laid upon the head of that goat in Leviticus chapter 16, and that scapegoat, that goat of disappearance, guess what happened? The sins disappeared, but the fit man came back. Praise God, child of God. Our fit man is coming back one day, but our sins are not.
Amen.
They are not coming back. And that brings me great joy and hope, because I am a sinner, seems like above all sinners. I sin outwardly, but more than that, I sin inwardly. And I struggle with that, and I hate my sins. I hate them. Oh, there's part of me that loves them, but I hate the fact that I'm still a sinner. But I love the fact that my fit man took my sins away to a land not inhabited, to a place that is deeper than the depths of the ocean, that is covered with a thick cloud, that as far as the east is from the west, he took those sins there, and my fit man is coming back one day, but I don't have to fear because he's not bringing my sins with him. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And that, beloved, is our better sacrifice. See, the high priest had to sacrifice a new goat every year. There had to be a new scapegoat every year, okay? We don't need a new scapegoat. We've got the only one that matters, the only one that counts. Our fit man, the Lord Jesus Christ, took our sins, and he put them away, and he's coming back one day without our sins. Praise God for the better sacrifice that has wrought a permanent propitiation of our sins.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.